What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Van Chats. My name is John Kroom, and if you haven't already, please make sure you hit that subscribe button, leave us a review. It really helps us out a lot. And if you haven't heard already, we are making our own coffee. That is right, we are making a single origin coffee roasted by Top Tube Coffee. It's called 15 Degree Limit, so if you haven't ordered yourself a bag yet, please be sure to check that out in the link in the description below. But anyways, let's get on to this week's episode. That is with Dylan Johnson. He is known as a YouTuber, but I know him as a professional gravel racer, coach, and mountain bike rider. But yeah, he's known for his coaching videos that he posts on YouTube, along with some of his backwards hat Dylan antics. And yeah, we get into chatting about where that all came from, why he does those kinds of videos, and how he got into it, as well as what his plans are for the 21 season. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. This episode is brought to you by Spot, a zero deductible injury insurance for active people. Spot starts for as little as $25 a month. So if you haven't already checked this out yet, I don't know what you're doing. I know you guys are active. I know you guys are out exploring and accidents happen. Spot covers up to $20,000 per injury. So that means if you're injured three times within the year, they will cover up to 60 grand that year. That year. So I know it sounds too good to be true, but all you have to do is go to kroom.getspot.com. That is kroom.getspot.com to check it out. Get your free quote today. It's easy as that. So kroom.getspot.com. This episode is brought to you by Bike Hardcore. I am tired of seeing you guys show up with dirty bikes. And Bike Hardcore can help you out with that by using their whip wipe and their chain degreaser, as well as finishing it off with the chain butter. But I'm also tired of you guys just pretty much smelling bad. And you can use their new product, which is Swexy Clean, which you can spray on shoes, boots, gloves, whatever. And so yes, that goes for you skiers as well. You can spray this on sweaty gear, you can wash your clothes in it, and it eliminates that sweat smell. And so you won't be smelling all bad and whatever else. But anyways, if you wanna go check it out, go to www.bikehardcore.com and use code Kroom at checkout to get 10% off your order. And that is Kroom, C-R-O-O-M, at www.bikehardcore.com. Man, what a wild week it has been here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It has been snowing for the last 2 days, and let me just say that the trainer rides have been somewhat unbearable, but luckily I have chamois butter, which changes the game completely. I'm a huge fan of the Euro style, and that keeps my skin cool and protected on those long trainer rides, so I'm not chafing or pretty much struggling to sit down on the couch after a long workout. But they make 5 different types of product that is specifically made for you, and you can check that out at chamoisbutter.com. That's chamois, B-U-T-T-R.com. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Van Chats. I'm sitting here with the man, Dylan Johnson, YouTube personality, I would say, because he has two personalities. You got backwards hat Dylan, and then you have Dylan Johnson himself. Currently, we have the sane one in the room, and that's just Dylan himself. And yeah, man, how are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm living. Right now, I'm sitting in about like 5 inches of snow outside, so I haven't been able to ride outside. And I think I uploaded Strava, or like just refreshed Strava. And 2 days ago, while it was snowing here, you were riding 230K in North Carolina. Is it not snowing there?
It's not snowing. We got some rain. We got some rain today, which was fine because it was a light day for me. But
the 230K was a light day for you, or
no. Today was a light day. Today. Right on. But yeah, no, we have decent winters here for riding. I mean, I don't ride indoors very much, so
yeah,
I can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen the Zwift video, and then the Trainer Road video, but we'll dive into that a little bit later. But yeah, like, we've been trying to do this forever, so I'm super thankful you jumped on. We've actually done one before, and if you guys are ever wondering, like, if there's that one person that has ever deleted a podcast on accident, I'm that guy. So I camped out in front of Dylan Johnson's house, and we did a live one in his house, and it was great. And yeah, I just deleted the files. So I didn't have them anymore, but yeah, man, let's dive in. It's 20. Cause the last time I saw you was about 6 months ago, and, I camped out in front of your house. We did some long epic rides. What have you been up to since then, man?
Let's see. I mean, I guess that was midsummer, and, you know, COVID was preventing us from racing. I did some racing at the end of the season, which I was, you know, I was happy that I at least got to race a little bit last year, hopefully more this year, and went through the off season. Now I'm back into putting in some big miles and uploading YouTube videos as always.
Sweet. Yeah. So let's just dive into the YouTube video thing a little bit. I mean, you, we've chatted about it. I mean, it's pretty crazy how it all kind of happened for you, but like, what's that like? What's that been like for you? I mean, especially with a full race schedule, to kind of maintain the quality and just kind of maintain the posting. And what's it been like going to races? Because I would you say the Belgian Waffle Ride was probably this year was probably the first time you went to a race where, like, you, I guess you were a name on that front, right?
I mean, I guess so. I think people were making a bigger deal out of vegan cyclists.
He's vegan,
but he's a bigger name.
And he talks about it. And
he's a bigger name.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, I actually am vegan. I think I've only said that in one video of mine.
Well, there you go. It comes out on the podcast, but yeah. And then
how do you know someone's vegan? It's because, you know, they'll tell you 5 minutes into a podcast.
Pretty much. Yeah. That and like that, or they make their YouTube handle the vegan cyclist. Right. But he's a good dude. He's been doing it forever. But yeah, so what has that been like? I mean, I guess like when you go to races, like do people want to see backwards hat Dylan, or do they just want to talk to you about training, or do they even care? Like, is it just like,
whatever? It's a mix. It's a mix. But yeah, I saw a lot of fans at BWR, which was good to see. I mean, that wasn't the first race where people recognized me from YouTube, but there were a lot of people there, and there were a lot of people who recognized me from YouTube, and you know, a lot of them came up to me and said hi. And you know, I appreciate every fan that comes up to me and says hi at a race. So if you see me at a race, don't hesitate to come up.
How weird is it saying fan, the word fan?
It is. It's
like kinda, how long did it take you? How long did it take you to go fan? Like,
I mean,
because you're a pretty humble dude. I remember staying with you. You're a pretty humble dude.
It's at the point where you literally, you don't know the person, like a person that you know, but like, you know, they watch your videos and you're like, oh, cool. Like, you know, we're friends.
Yeah.
But if you literally don't know you've never even met the person. They're coming up to you. I mean, you know, I don't know what a better word for that would be.
that's insane, dude. So, but yeah, so BWR, let's dive into that a little bit. There was some controversy around that race happening because of COVID. A lot of people were either upset that people were at the race, but it looked like a pretty deep field. So let's break down the race, I guess, more or less, coffee van chat style. We don't really need to dive into the science of it that you can get into, but, What was the pluses? What was the minuses? And how did you kind of go in with your mindset?
Yeah, I mean, you know, stacked field, like, you know, Keegan, Pete Stetna, Alexei Vermeulen, a bunch of other names, you know. So I was just stoked to be doing a big race because I didn't know if I was going to be doing a big race that year. I think probably a month prior, I was talking to a guy at Envy, and he was like, hey, you coming out for BWR? And I was like, I just assumed it wasn't happening. And he's like, no, it's happening. And I was like, well, I guess I'll be there.
Yeah.
So I didn't fly out. I drove like 30 hours out there, which, you know, it was cool. We made a trip out of it. And but yeah, I mean, as far as the race went, I just tried to play it pretty conservative. I knew that a lot of the guys around me had more horsepower than I did, so I was trying to save my matches as much as I could. And that course was fairly flat until you get to about, I think, mile 110. There's a pretty decent like 15 minute climb, and I knew the race would be decided on that climb, or if not decided on that climb, on the single track section right after that climb. So I pretty much just tried to hang with the lead group until we got to that climb, and then it was kind of every man for himself.
Yeah. So when did the first attack go, and was there like an oh shit moment for you, I guess, more or less?
Well, there were attacks before that climb. Yeah. I mean, we were working pretty well as a group. Everyone took their turn, but there were, you know, I think Stetna tried to make a dig. Keegan probably tried to make a dig. I don't know. I lost track because I was kind of on the back of the group just hanging on. But
yeah.
We went into that climb. The lead group was still, I think, six guys at that point. And I think it was actually Alexi who kind of got to the front first and started pulling. And he was pulling up that climb harder than I was able to go. And I dropped off, I don't know, 2 minutes into the climb. So,
yeah.
And then I could just see them riding off in the distance. I don't know. You'd have to ask him exactly how that played out, but that's sort of how it played out for me.
Nah, yeah, for sure. So that all being said, you ended up what, fifth?
Fourth place.
So you ended up fourth place, which, you know, some would think that would put a fire under your tail for DK or now known as Unbound. But you've had a top 10 at Unbound, and I just recently saw that you have posted that you're going all in Unbound. And then a couple days later, you do that 230K ride. But what was the spark behind that? And yeah, do you even think it's going to happen?
I really hope it's going to happen because I'm kind of putting all my eggs in that basket right now. I mean, if it doesn't happen, there's more races and it's not going to be the end of the world, but that's like my AAA event this year. I'm really going all in for it. So I hope it's going to happen. And, I think it's a kind of racing that suits me. I mean, I do well in that ultra endurance kind of event. And, you know, I think that event, suits a rider that can kind of be smart with how they're, you know, using their energy in the race and a rider who's smart with their nutrition and their pacing. And, you know, there's the first time I did DK, there, I made a lot of mistakes and I think hopefully I learned from that and, you know, I want to give it another crack.
Yeah, no, that's rad. So, you know, you just recently released the video on Trainer Road and you gave your opinion. And I kind of found you from the Zwift video, which is kind of where you feel like you've blew up a little bit. Have you gotten any backlash from this one? Because I know you got some backlash from the Zwift video, which we won't even talk about, but
yeah, that one's so far in the past at this point. but yeah, you know, honestly, I said this in the video. I was like, man, this video is probably going to get some dislikes. I'm probably going to lose some subscribers, going to be people mad in the comments. But I mean, that video, I think, is like at a 98% like to dislike ratio, which is, you know, really solid for any video of mine that's getting a lot of views. And I couldn't read all the comments. There's like 1200 comments. I didn't have time to read every single one, but I read a lot of them, and overwhelmingly there's a lot of people that had the exact same experience that I was describing. Like I was talking about people who were emailing me saying, you know, I've been on Trainer Road and I'm just feeling burnt out. And that's kind of what inspired me to make the video. There were a lot of people that had that exact same experience in the comments. There were a lot of people that had that exact same experience who emailed me. I mean, my email inbox was flooded after that video. I couldn't respond to everyone, but you know, I heard the same story too many times.
And what's that story for people that haven't seen the video yet?
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, these Trainer Road plans, they're really big on intensity. And I mean, like even in the base plan, you know, doing a lot of sweet spot intensity, to the point where if you're doing the high volume plan, it's like every single day. And, it's just, you know, it's just too much for a lot of people. And I would say too much for most people. I don't know. I don't really know anyone who I would recommend that kind of approach to. And even before I made the video, people would come to me either looking for coaching or looking for a training plan, saying, you know, I've been on Trainer Road, but I'm just feeling burnt out with Trainer Road. So, you know, I want to give whatever plan you have a try. And that happened enough times that I was like, I gotta take a look at these Trainer Road plans. I think I had taken a look at them when I did the Zwift video, because I got requests after the Zwift video to do a Trainer Road video. So I took a quick look at them after that. And I was like, yeah, these don't look great, but I didn't want to make a video on it because they're so big. Mm-hmm. Not that Zwift isn't big.
You just
but
get
I feel
canceled
like...
overnight. Like, you've done Zwift and Trainer Road. It's like, oh,
right.
I got a ton of followers and now I'm going to lose them all in a matter of a night.
Right. But enough people kept emailing me about, and it kept coming up again and again. Like, I do consultations with people. They tell me about how they got burnt out doing Trainer Road. And I'm like, you know what, this deserves a video at this point. So, went back into Trainer Road, took a good hard look at their plans, and, you know, just talked about how they really prescribe too much intensity. And like I said, after I made that video, my inbox was flooded. The comment section on my video was flooded. The Trainer Road forum, you know, supposedly those are Trainer Road fans. And granted, I got more hate on the Trainer Road forum than I did in my own comment section. But there were a lot of people that agreed with me as well, that they were feeling burnt out on a Trainer Road plan.
So has Jonathan Lee reached out to you yet to bring you onto a podcast so you guys can chat about these programs?
No one from Trainer Road has contacted me yet. And I say this in the video, but I actually listen and I like the Trainer Road podcast, and I find myself learning things on the Trainer Road podcast. So
yeah,
it's not a knock on any of them. I was just more targeting the specific plans that they sell.
But I mean, all in all, like if we look at any cookie cutter program, it can kind of get wishy-washy, right? Like it's,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like, is this really the best for anyone? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. And so yeah, I think looking at a little bit of that stuff is kind of always interesting, but anyway, so diving into that, what's your next video? Do you have any like next video plans, or do you have anything lined up? Any requests?
I got a list of videos. It's a fairly long list. I don't know. I haven't even started working on the next video because this week has been, I mean, I had to put an automatic response on my email address because I couldn't respond to all the emails. And you're actually the second podcast I've done today talking about Trainer Road. So,
dang it. What podcast was that?
It was, I was talking with Triathlon Taren. I don't know if you know him.
Oh no, I don't know him, but
he's a YouTuber, but he's a triathlete. So, yeah.
Well, sick. Well, hopefully there'll be some cross promotion. We'll release this at the same time, but, but anyway, so like, has anybody, you know, cause a lot of like, I think where the vegan cyclist kind of masters some of his plans is there's no real, like, I guess, line of sight with his channel, right? So like with your channel, it's all training videos, and it's sometimes not even fully your belief. It's more or less like, hey, here's the science, right? Like, right. This is what I'm reading. This is what I'm seeing. This is it. All right. Mm-hmm. With a vegan cyclist, like he does some of that. He does some gear stuff. He does some, you know, vlogging, family, life, balance, whatever else. Like, I'm interested, like even living with you for like 3 days, I'm interested to know what you do on a daily basis. I'm interested to know what kind of gear you ride. Has that ever crossed your mind?
Yeah, it has. Every once in a while, I'll do like a bike check video.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the vlog kind of thing. I think the thing that keeps me away from that is I really want to be, I think there's two ways to get really big on YouTube. You can either be high quantity, like putting out videos all the time, you know, and people just expect a consistent upload. A lot of cyclists do that. Like, you know, Francis Cade, Cameron Jeffers. They're like doing like daily vlogs.
Those are pretty good videos though, but
they are good videos. They are good videos. And in fact, you know, Francis Cade, he actually lets me use his footage as like B-roll, which I really appreciate because he's got good camera work. So shout out to him. But, or you can be like the kind of YouTuber that is like quality over quantity. And I'm not saying that like my content is super quality, but at least, especially like my camera work or whatever, but at least like the information, it takes a lot of research and it takes a lot of prep work. Like I have a script and all of that. You know, I think that's probably the approach I want to take. If I ever did vlogging, I don't know, it might be for a second channel.
Yeah. Well, I got super impressed with your setup. Like I was expecting one of two things. Like I was expecting like good cameras, but you're banging it out like in a matter of seconds. Like you just kind of go in there, you read what you're going to read and you do it in a day and you call it good. Mm-hmm. But it was honestly, or it was going to be like, you know, very scripted with good cameras and in like a set, and because it's very consistent. When I saw your set and I saw your setup, I was impressed, like just by the fact of like how much money you don't have to put into it, but then at the same time how much effort you put into it. Like it's not a day for you to research a topic. Like I think when I met you in June in person, you were working on the Cadence video, or at least researching the Cadence video. That video came out like 2 months after. Mm-hmm. Like, and it might have been time and training and whatever else, but I was just super impressed with that. So how long do you think it takes you to put together one video? I mean, this is probably a question you get all the time because everybody would love to be a YouTuber. Like I would, you know, love to be mm-hmm. a YouTuber, but time is of the essence, you know? So right. Yeah, how much time do you put into it?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how research heavy the video is. Like, obviously, if I'm just doing a bike check, I'm not citing any studies or anything. I'm just talking about my bike. I can bang mm-hmm. that out pretty quickly. But or even if it's like a race report, I'm just talking about my race. But if it's like a research heavy video, I mean, I could be researching for a day. I could be writing a script for another day. And then, you know, filming and editing is easily another day.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I just set up the camera and start talking. In fact, I am super impressed by YouTubers who don't have any jump cuts. Like whenever I watch a YouTuber and they just straight talk to the camera for 10 minutes, I'm like, "Man, how did they do that?"
Yeah, I think Francis Cade's really good about that. Like mm-hmm. just chatting through his day, chatting through his life and not messing up at all. And who knows, he probably shoots like 6-7 different times. I don't know. But the vegan cyclist with his jump cuts, like they're good. So like, you know, one moment he's talking to the camera, next moment he opens up a cabinet and he's talking to the camera again. And it's like, they're very good transitions. So that's the impressive side of that. But yeah, so kind of diving off the YouTube sides of things, and past Kanza, you know, I was thinking about it today. Has Leadville ever hit your radar?
It has, for sure. Yeah. It has. I think Leadville is way more of a hassle to do than people realize. Because I've been the 100-mile mountain bike guy for quite a while. Like I've done a lot of different 100-mile mountain bike races all around the country. So it's like, why don't you do Leadville? That's literally the 100-mile mountain bike race in the country. I mean, here are some of the hurdles. You got to qualify. It's at altitude. It's expensive. You know, and every time I've looked into doing that, I'm just like, man, this is like one too many. This is like one too many headaches. You know. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to do it. And in fact, I definitely do want to do it. I don't know if it's on the cards for this year, but it's definitely on my bucket list to do. And not only do, but like do well at, hopefully. Yeah. I don't know. It would probably be easier if I lived out in Colorado to get it done. And I've even thought about moving out to Colorado, not for Leadville, but just because it seems like it's an awesome place to live.
Come on, man. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll probably do it at some point, but I don't think people realize how much of a pain it is to just logistically to do that race.
So I'm about to tell you how easy it was for me to get in. Now, logistically, I haven't done the race, but how easy it was for me to for it to happen. So I found out I wasn't going to the Olympics, and they had this thing called Lead Boat. So it was two birds with one stone, my friend. I could get into Steamboat and Leadville all at once. So I fill out the application, and like one of the questions was like, well, why do you want to do Leadville? And my answer is that I literally don't own a mountain bike. I'd love to have a reason to own a mountain bike. That was my answer. Now, mind you, I told them a little bit about myself, and you know, I used to weigh 300 pounds, and now, you know, don't. And I've never really raced at all on the dirt, and so like this is just something that was on my bucket list. But I got in. I honestly thought I wasn't going to get in just solely because of that comment, but I thought it would be funny if I did get in by saying that I didn't own a mountain bike. So I haven't gotten to the point, but now, mind you, I'm not trying to do well either. So, but yeah, you need like SAG crew and all kinds of crazy stuff and aid stations and, figuring that stuff out. So
that's so you're a doing hassle. It this year.
Yeah, I'm doing it. And then I'm doing Steamboat right after. Nice. So the next
any
day,
other gravel races on the calendar for you?
I'm trying to get into Unbound. I think I got into Unbound. I don't know if I got into Unbound, but working with somebody to try to get it Unbound. I'm trying to get the podcast, a tent at Unbound. So we can do a live podcast at Unbound, which would be cool. But yeah, I was supposed to go to Mid-South, canceled. And past that, like everything else is, there's the Southeast Gravel that I think I'm going to come out to on the 17th. Ben Rankin is putting it on. You've done some of those. It's the one of Mid-South day, the day of Mid-South.
Okay. I'll be there.
I don't know which one that is, though.
Fort Sumter or something. That's probably a good one for you. There's not a lot of climbing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything with dirt is really not a good one for me. So, but the fact that it is it is not climbing will probably make it a lot better than it would have been. We'll see how it goes. Be vlogging, take the van out there. But yeah, it should be good. But anyways, I don't want to keep you all night. And We always end the podcast with this. We actually weren't doing it when I was doing it at your house, but the question, we have like a final question for all the athletes and people that come on the podcast. But if you could have a cup of coffee with one individual, dead or alive, who would that individual be? Why? And how would you take your coffee? And if you don't drink coffee, what would that drink of choice be? Because I don't think you drink coffee, do you?
If I was drinking coffee, I'd probably just have a black coffee.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'd have. I don't usually drink coffee. And if people are wondering why, there actually is a performance reason. I try to stay away from caffeine unless I'm either doing a hard workout or I'm racing, so that it has a greater effect on my performance.
Right on. That's a good call. Good call.
Man, that's a tough question. I mean, there's so many people. I think, you know, there's one person who I've wanted to interview on my YouTube channel who I've sent an email to who hasn't responded to me, and that's Steven Seiler. I don't know if you know him.
I don't know.
He's a training researcher.
Yeah.
And he's kind of polarized training. And he, like, you know, I don't do an interview style YouTube channel. I've never done an interview with anyone on my YouTube channel, and I don't plan to. But if there was one person I was going to interview on my YouTube channel, it would probably be him.
That's rad. Yeah. I'm going to cut this snippet out, and I'm just going to tag him on Instagram or Twitter or whatever and see if he,
I don't know if he has an Instagram.
He has to have like a Twitter or LinkedIn.
I think he's on Twitter, yeah.
Something. And then yeah. that's how we, we'll just try to reach out and see if he'll actually do it. Awesome. But yeah, no, that's super cool, dude. And like I said, I appreciate your time. Guys, if you've never heard of Dylan Johnson, which you're probably watching this video because you know Dylan Johnson or you've seen his videos. But if you haven't, please make sure you check out in the description below his YouTube channel as well as his social media, which will all be down in the description below. I'll even put up some backwards hat Dylan merch linked in the description below. So make sure you go grab that because that's a pretty comical character that he has going on. But other than that, guys, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.